Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
I mean, there's not many opportunities I have to, you know, truly get hype and crunk and fired up for a Bucks home game. But damn it, if we're not going to get excited now, then when the fuck are we going to get excited? This is a moment. It's a moment where we can look at this franchise and say they're heading in the right direction, or it can be a moment where we're saying what we were saying just a month ago. The purge. Blow it up. Keep some, get rid of most, and start this thing over. Jason Light even said, the goal is to get the right 53 players together. The Bucks haven't done that to this point. But here we go. And yeah, you know, I want to, you know, play a couple other songs. I mean, how often do we get to be truly this excited heading into a home game? And thank you for being a part of this podcast, the Bucks Uncensored podcast, growing in popularity week after week. Thank you for the kind comments from JoeBucksFan.com, popular on their site, popular through iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. The numbers continue to grow as Bucks fans look at, I think this podcast is therapy. You're not looking for me to share earth-shattering information. I'm going to tell you how it is from my perspective, and I like to hear how it is from your perspective. It's as interactive of a podcast as you're going to have, and that's why we invite you to share your thoughts with us with voice memos straight from your phone. You record your voice so your voice can be heard. Email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. That's BucksUncensored@gmail.com, and you could be just like Bill.
Commish, Bill from Iowa. There's only two things I want to hear come Sunday.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. So you could be just like Bill. See, it's that simple. You email your voice directly to BucksUncensored@gmail.com, and you can be a part of it. I said earlier the week, and I feel as strongly about it now as I did then, this is as close to a playoff experience as Bucks fans could have had over the last 8 years. This isn't the Raheem Morris faux 10-6 season. We all saw right through that. This isn't Greg Schiano and what he was attempting at the time. This isn't even Lovie from last year. I think when you look at the schedule from last year, no one truly believed that at the time. And in Lovie fashion, you could say in Bucks fashion, with all three of those coaches and four dating back to John Gruden, The month of December has not been kind to this team. They failed John Gruden, lost four straight, he was fired. Raheem Morris lost 10 straight, and he was fired to end the season. Greg Schiano was dead man walking year two no matter what. And last year, Lovie Smith failed again late in the season, which led to his departure. Dirk Cutter's a new coach. New coach comes new hope. A team that has had its ups and downs early on in the season. A team that the coach himself came out early in the season and said, we got to correct this losing culture we have. I mean, for him to come out and say that, it's like, holy shit, okay. Feeling good about this. At least you identify the problem. How can you fix a problem if you can't identify it and call it what it is? They did just that. Losing culture. And I think that they have done behind the scenes the best job that they can to correct that in season. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. They've had two wins in a row. Now, for us as Bucks fans, that's a miracle. Because not only was it two wins in a row, it's been eight complete quarters in a row. They've really played some good football, really good, dominated a team that they were probably supposed to dominate. Although, could you say that about this team this year? And last year against the Chiefs, settled on field goals. The score could have been even more lopsided, but nonetheless, made the field goals, played well on defense, protected Jameis Winston, and Winston had his best game of his career. Fly under the radar. Keep doing it. But I'm telling you this right now, it's a crossroads for this team, this organization, on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. This is an organization that has continually, over the years, failed late in the season. As I just said, they failed with John Gruden, failed with Raheem Morris, failed with Greg Schiano, and failed with Lovie Smith. I mean, that's really been my argument during this 8-year span is just please, for the love of God, give us some meaningful games in December. I mean, nobody wants to get to December and already be thinking of next year, yet that's how it is for us every year. Now, my buddy Tyler, who I believe is one of the 109 boys, sent Joe Bucks fan and I some information. Now, I did not verify this information, but it's pretty detailed. I'm going to go with what he said. He goes, pulled some data on how bad we've been in the last six games of the season over the last 5 years. 4-26. 4-26, that's just what I was talking about. I mean, I don't need to verify those numbers, right? It's nice to hear them because that just shows how bad they've actually been. Last in the league in points against, second to last in points for, 339-point differential in that time span, 32nd in the league, 59 points worse than the 31st worst team. Average margin of defeat in the 26 losses is 14.3 points per game. Needless to say, these last six games are pretty damn important if we really want to start changing the culture. Feel free to use any of the info on the site of the podcast. I can send you the Excel spreadsheet, and he does have an Excel spreadsheet, which just makes me love him even more. You know, and I've seen the debates on Twitter. I don't tweet as much as maybe I used to, but I do try and read the ones from people that I haven't muted. Amazing what I guess is said. I see people interacting, and it's just like, don't have time. I got a family. It's Thanksgiving week. Don't have time. If that's what you're really doing on Thanksgiving, then I feel sorry for you. But there was one person, there were two guys going back and forth, and it was in relation to this Sunday's game. And again, I'm all in. It's a playoff atmosphere. I'm fired up. I am beside myself. It's going to be what you want it to be. Make it what you want it to be. If you want it to be fun and exciting, then go in with that mindset. If you want to be the Grinch that stole Christmas and go in bitching and moaning, then guess what you're going to get out of the game? A whole lot of bullshit. Because if they lose, see, I told you. If they win, you're not going to fully enjoy it. I'm going to go in, man. I'm going to go in thinking this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to make the month of December at least semi-relevant. It's not even going to be... Listen, they've got a tough road ahead. But if they win on Sunday, I believe the Falcons have a bye week, they're a half game out of the division. I mean, you just shrug your shoulders and go, all right. I mean, at least there's a chance, which is more than what we've had in the last several years. You know, again, I was watching these guys going back and forth on Twitter, and one guy was like, man, this would be a huge game, huge, huge win. You know, haven't even gotten into the actual matchup, but Earl Thomas is out. Seattle Seahawks, all-pro safety. He's out in this game. Came out late Friday. You know, the guy was saying, I wish Earl Thomas was playing in the game. I'd like Jameis to show what he can do against the full power of the Seahawks defense. The other guy is like, who cares if they win? They're not going to do anything this season. They might as well lose the rest of their games and get a higher draft pick. Now, I have changed my tune over the years. I would say, I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years that was leading into Jameis wins. 2 years ago, I was rooting for them to lose. I was on the radio at the time, openly rooting for the Bucs to lose, hoped they would lose every game in hopes that they would get the number one overall pick and get a franchise quarterback. It's tough to win without that type of quarterback consistently in the NFL week after week. I had no problem doing it. I had gone through and suffered through numerous losses, lost a lot of money, as some of you have done the same. And I knew that sometimes you got to take a step back, check your pride at the door, your ego at the door, suck it up so that you can get the higher draft pick, get the player that could change your franchise around. They did just that. Now, 2 years later, they have their franchise quarterback. And I think when you take a deep look at what the draft produces year after year, you don't have to have a top 10 pick to get great players anymore. What you need is a top 10 scouting department that can find top 10 talented players who will be top 10 players in the NFL, but get them later on in the draft. It happens every single year. Where it doesn't happen too often is at quarterback. Though that position's hard to find. Difference-making quarterbacks, usually you have to get those guys earlier. There's always the exception being the guy on the other side of the field on Sunday against the Bucs and Russell Wilson. But typically you don't scout that out and, you know, target those players. Typically you luck into those players. And that's why it was important for the Bucs to get their quarterback, and now it's important for them to win. And if they win every game and not make the playoffs, it's a successful season. If they go 11-5 or 10-6 or 9-7 or even 8-8 and don't make the playoffs but don't have as high of a draft pick, I'm okay with that. Because what we need to see now is a team that's turning the corner, a team that's showing they can win late in the season, a team that's coming closer together at the end of the season rather than pulling apart. They've pulled themselves apart too many times over the last few years. Jameis Winston talking about family. It's time to come together as a family, come closer together, and get big victories. This game's a big game. Because this game, if you lose this game against the Seattle Seahawks, you can kiss the wild card goodbye. And quite frankly, then you're a game and a half back in the division, which is going to be a tough road for you with two games against the Saints, a game against the Chargers, which could go either way, a game against the Cowboys, which we know is going to be extremely difficult, the Carolina Panthers still on that schedule as well. So, yeah, you don't want to put yourself in that kind of hole. I think if you lose against the Seahawks, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. And if you kiss the playoffs goodbye, how are certain players, not all players, but how are certain players on your roster going to react to that? And if they react in a negative way, to me, if you're Jason Light, you take notice of that and make sure that those players aren't on your roster moving forward next year. Because there's no room for that. You can't have that. And maybe that's a positive that you can take if the Bucs were to lose to the Seahawks on Sunday. Now, if they win, as I said, you're a half game back of the Falcons. And I think you look at the rest of the NFC, you're probably still in the mix for the wild card, but the top target has to be the Falcons atop the division. I think there's a better chance of catching them than catching the teams that are fighting for the wild card. Now, what I can tell you about the NFL playoff scenario and situations, how they normally play out, is a couple of teams are going to get hot, a couple of teams are going to get ice cold, and we don't know who those teams. It could be anyone at any given time. I can also tell you that if the Bucs win on Sunday, that's three straight heading into the month of December, and wins against the Chiefs and Seahawks would make the Buccaneers one of the more talked about teams and probably one of the hotter teams in the NFL heading into the most important month of the season. With that being said, let's get into the matchup for the Bucs. But before that, I want to check in with a Bucs fan that I know is fired up for Sunday's game. That's our buddy Garv. Garv?
Justin, Garv in Sarasota. I just listened to your Wednesday podcast, and I want to tell you something. You speak for me. You speak for so many of us that have been there year after year and have been disappointed a lot in recent times, especially at the home games, obviously. But let me tell you something. We're going to be jacked up for this game. The people that I talked to in my section, we were even texting and calling each other after the Chiefs game. We're so excited about it. And you're right, it's a playoff game for us. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'll tell you something else. And I truly believe this. I think Jameis has those Bucs, Jameis in particular, and Coder, have those Bucs believing in themselves. I think they think they can beat anybody. And I think that they're going to really show up big. And if we show them up as a crowd and they have a good showing in front of a huge pro Bucs crowd, and it's been a long time since that's happened, but if they do that, it's going to be huge. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be there losing my voice, as are so many of us. And the rest of the people that are thinking about going, man, jump aboard. This is the time to get on. Thank you, Justin. Great job. Like I said, you speak for a lot of us, and I appreciate that. Garv in Sarasota, see ya.
See ya. Thank you, Garv. Thank you for the kind comments. I was called a bandwagon fan this week, but sometimes you just got to let that just go right off your shoulder and know that I'm the one that's there every home game, and the others that are making the comments aren't. So, kiss my ass. Let's see. Do I want to play another voicemail? Nah, let's get into the matchup, because it's a big one, right? Earl Thomas is out. Michael Bennett is out for them. Good news is Brent Grimes likely to play. Whew. That is so huge, especially with Ajay Barima out. Werner's most likely going to move to the inside. Werner could move inside. Werner Hargraves could move inside. Remember, he played some slot early on in the season. So either of them can move inside to the slot. You're going to need all three of them. I don't want this to come across the wrong way. I think the Bucs match up well with what the Seahawks do. That doesn't mean that I think they're going to dominate the game. That doesn't mean I think they're going to go out and win the game. I want them to win the game. But I think you also come to me as somebody who's going to tell it like it is. The advantage the Bucs have is that The Seahawks receivers are all smaller, quicker receivers. I think that plays right into what the Buccaneers have at defensive back with Grimes, Werner, and Vernon Hargraves. Smaller, quicker corners. So I think there's a good matchup there. Jimmy Graham has come on. He's exploded. He's the Jimmy Graham that everyone remembers him as. The Bucs have linebackers that have Lavonte David's gone up against him before. I don't think Quan Alexander has, but I can tell you this. No, Quan Alexander has not because it's his second season, but you have athletic linebackers who can run with Jimmy Graham. That's much different than what most other NFL teams have. Not too concerned with what the Seahawks have running the football with Thomas Rawls. He's been injured all season long. Procise, their other running back, is injured out for the season. They just cut Christian Michael. Then they got Alex Collins, some other guys on the bench. So I'm not too concerned with the running game. Their offensive line's not very good at all. The X factor is Russell Wilson. He can run. He can make plays with his legs. He can make plays with his arm. He's never out of a play. That's very, very concerning. But overall, I think the Bucs defense matches up well with the Seahawks offense. Defensively for the Seahawks, the Bucs, it's one thing I haven't liked about the Bucs this week is their Twitter account hyping up this matchup between Mike Evans and Richard Seymour. Seymour's better than Mike Evans at this point. No offense to the Mike Evans fans, but he's the best, one of the best, if not the best corner in football. Where Mike Evans wins a lot of his matchups week in and week out is how big he is and just how he can overpower the cornerbacks he goes up against. He doesn't win with speed. Richard Seymour, that's his game, is how big he is and how he can match up with bigger receivers. So I think somebody else has to step up other than Mike Evans. I'd love to see Mike Evans have a great game. I'm playing him in my fantasy league, so, you know, of course, personally, I want to see him have a great game. But realistically, I think we need somebody else to step up, whether it be Cecil Shorts, Adam Humphries, Russell Shepard, Cameron Brate. Somebody else has to step up. But if the Bucs are going to win this game, if they're going to have any shot in this game, it's going to have to fall in the offensive line. Kevin Pamphile's back. He is back and playing in this game. That is huge news for this team. Even though Caleb Badenoch stepped in and played well last week, the Buccaneers are as healthy of an organization as you're going to find in the NFL right now. Their entire offensive line is healthy. Their entire defensive line is healthy. Gerald McCoy, Robert Ayers, Noah Spence, I mean, they're all playing in this game. The entire offensive line is healthy. Doug Martin is back. Mike Evans is there. Jameis Winston. I mean, at this point in the season, every team is dealing with injuries. Just look at the Seattle Seahawks on the other side. They have to take advantage of being healthier. The offensive line has to dominate in this game. Donovan Smith has a huge task going up against Cliff Avril. Both Donovan Smith and Damar Dotson, because he'll be moving back and forth. They have to protect Jameis Winston, but more than that, and what will help protection is running the football. They have to establish the run. And I don't, just like last week, you don't have to run for 100 yards. You don't have to run for 150 yards. That would help. But the threat of a running game opens up the pass game. We saw that last week. It'll happen again. With Earl Thomas out, Cam Chancellor not the best in pass coverage, that does make them susceptible to some plays down the field. The Bucs aren't the big play offense. One of the big play offenses you'll find in the NFL, they just don't have enough speed to do that. But they do have enough speed to get chunk plays, 20, 25-yard plays. Cecil Shorts, Russell Shepard, Adam Humphries, Cameron Brate. Somebody needs to step up outside of Mike Evans, with Evans having that tough matchup against Richard Seymour. And Roberto Aguayo, keep making your field goals. Most of you do not know what it's like to go to a playoff game in the NFL. Most of you barely remember what it was like the last time the Bucs were in the playoffs. couple of times under Gruden after the Super Bowl. This is what the atmosphere should be like in this game. Be in your fucking seats before kickoff. It's not that hard. I almost feel like I'm giving you the rules on how to approach this game. It's a 4 o'clock start. Get to the tailgate at noon. I don't care. Get there. Start park somewhere and walk around at 7 a.m. But make sure you're in your seats by 3:45 for that 4 o'clock kickoff. You want the players to feel that raw emotion as they come out onto the field. Now, is it going to happen? Probably not. Are most of us going to be disappointed by the crowd that's there to start the game? Probably. But, man, if you're going to tailgate, if you're listening to this on the way to the game or before the game, and you're going to hang out with people beforehand, just start spreading the word, man. Let's get inside the stadium before the game starts. Third down on defense. Listen, nobody knows it as much as I do. I try to get into every game that I go to, and every game when I stand up on third down, I get disappointed. It is just let down after let down after let down. It's not going to deter me from standing up even more. Third down, defense is on the field. Stand your ass up and yell at the top of your lungs. No, it's not going to affect the Seahawks. They play in the best home field advantage in all of sports. But it could jack your players up. That is the most important part. The most important part. Most importantly, for the fans going to this game, treating it as a playoff atmosphere, have fun. Have fun. Enjoy it. Let's just go with an open mind, an optimistic heart, and hope that what JoeBucksFan.com is calling a crossroads game ends up being a game that we point back to as the game that put this era of Buccaneer football on the map. I'm pumped. I hope you are as well. And if they lose, we'll come back and talk about it and revisit those type of podcasts next week. But for the time being, let's just enjoy it as long as we got it. I'm Justin Pulaski. Thanks to Bricado's Sandwich Shop for being the sponsor of this podcast, a growing podcast, what JoeBucksFan.com called the most popular Bucks podcast out there today. Appreciate those comments. Appreciate you for listening and subscribing on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean, and First Come, First Serve if you want the episode, each episode, before it's available on your phones and through the subscription. Go to JoeBucksFan.com Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturday mornings for the first listen to the Bucks Uncensored podcast 3 times a week during the regular season. Follow me on Twitter at @commissonline, Facebook.com/commissonline. Go Bucks. I look forward to seeing all of you there, and I will be crazy. I hope you will as well. And I hope the Buccaneers do what I just did on this podcast, and that is fucking nail it.